This is drag my teeth across your chest to taste your beating heart. Written by Black Cat. Read by Mistborn Hero. A Star Wars Clone Wars podfic rated for teen and up audiences featuring the relationship Fox, John and Teals. It is tagged for implied abuse, hurt, comfort, fix it of sorts, canon divergence, protectiveness. There's a Jedi standing on the landing platform, entirely unmoving, and he's been there for almost 10 minutes now. Fox takes another glance at his comm, just to check that he hasn't mistaken something, that much time really has passed. And he's used to Jedi doing inexplicable things, but one of them standing in the pouring rain as still as a statue is something new. He's blocking traffic, Fox thinks, a little annoyed. Speeders keep having to detour around him, and he doesn't even seem to care. If there was anyone else in the office, Fox wouldn't hesitate to send them out to get the Jedi out of the way. As it is, though, he is the only one, and he doesn't want to go out in the rain, doesn't want to leave the pot of calf he has entirely to himself, or the book Thorn slipped in between all of his more important pads. Fox doesn't get nights off, but this is something close to it, and he wants to enjoy it, not deal with idiot Jedi who don't even have the sense to come in out of the rain. But with a groan, Fox scrubs a hand through his hair, then shoves to his feet, grabbing his bucket. Someone is going to hit the idiot, and then Fox will have to deal with the council, and then he'll have even more paperwork, and he won't get any more nights like this for a good long while. Better spend a few minutes chasing the Jedi off than make it a whole mess Fox will have to deal with later. Out of the landing platform, it's even more miserable than it looked from inside Fox's nice, warm office. There's a howling wind that's almost blowing the speeders, of course, and the rain is so heavy and hard, it feels like getting battered by shrapnel. Fox takes 3 steps out into it, and curses viciously, quickening his steps as he crosses the platform. "Sir," he calls over the sound of the rain, but there is no response. Swallowing an annoyed growl, Fox snaps with a bit more force.
"General."
Still no motion, not even an acknowledging glance. Fox sets his jaw, promises himself that if it's Boss or Skywalker, he'll accidentally push them over the edge, and reaches out, grabs with maybe a little more force than necessary. There's a jerk, a wrench. The Jedi ducks, freezes, and Fox does too, entirely bewildered as to what is happening.
"Sir,"
he says after a long second, a little more carefully.
"If you're waiting for a speeder to the temple, you can wait inside, and I'll come one for you."
The Jedi pauses for a long moment, like he's waiting for something. When Fox doesn't offer anything else, though, he turns his head just enough for Fox to catch a glimpse of a scarred mouth, a sharp chin, and soaked cloth. There's a hesitation, fraught with a tension that makes Fox frown, but finally the Jedi says, carefully, hoarse and quiet,
"I can't."
Fox waits, but there is nothing else. Some flicker of suspicion has him holding off on coming a medic, but It's a thought, and he keeps it in reserve as he takes a half step closer and says,
"You can't come inside, or you can't call us Peter."
The Jedi shakes his head, and Fox realizes suddenly, belatedly, that he's trembling. Not just from the cold, Fox thinks grimly. Something's gone wrong here.
I can't go to the temple.
The Jedi finally manages. His gloved hands curl more of a defense motion than an attempt to form a fist, and he ducks his head, lets the hood cover his whole face.
I'm afraid,
he says hoarsely, like it's a confession, and Fox stares down at his bowed head and feels something turn over in his stomach.
You don't have to go to the temple,
he says gruffly, and loosens his tight grip, slides his hand up to cup the Jedi's elbow, draws him forward, and the Jedi lets himself be led, doesn't put up any resistance as Fox steers him through the lashing rain and towards the doors.
My master called me here,
the Jedi says, almost too quiet to hear.
I have to. She said I had to come, but I can't.
He trails off, lost, and Fox pulls him inside. Then, carefully, lays a hand against his back. Feels the twitch, but gives it a moment. And when the Jedi sags a little, he guides him forward, one arm halfway around him. Doesn't think, deliberately, of Dread Priest and Isabeth Rue, and their fighting rings in Kamino. Clone cadets tortured and made to fight. The ones that survived reacted a lot like this Jedi and... Well, the Order is small, but its members span the whole galaxy. Fox supposes that even the Jedi can't keep an eye on all their knights and masters all the time.
You don't have to,
Fox says, and it's flat, sharper than he intends, waving the guard room open. He checks that it's still empty, then steers the Jedi right towards his office in the back, engages the privacy locks, and steps away to turn the heat up.
Why does she want you there?
For assignment, the Jedi says, and he still sounds a little lost, bewildered, like he doesn't know what is happening.
I let them think I was dead. It's not safe for me to be a general.
Grief. Not safe. Fox has no idea what this man was told to make him think that, but he's yet to see a single Jedi ever pose a conscious danger to his troops.
If you're here for assignment, you don't have to go to the temple,
he says, and reaches up. The Jedi flinches, but doesn't move as Fox pulls his hood back, carefully drags the wet robes off his shoulders, and lets them drop to the floor. There are more scars underneath, a sharp, raw-boned face, and pale eyes flicker up to look at Fox, though the Jedi doesn't move.
They think I'm dead.
He says, raw. Fox snorts.
I've dealt with worse paperwork,
he says, and takes a second to calculate all the strings he'll need to pull, all the favors he'll have to call in. There aren't that many. Finding the man's master and keeping her far, far away from him will likely be the most difficult part.
Here, Kaff?
Yes, the Jedi says, caught off guard.
Thank you.
Polite. That's a good sign, Fox thinks, and drops a creamer pod and two sweeteners into the cup without asking. When he hands it over, the Jedi wraps long fingers around it, ducks his face down and breathes in the steam, and something in him seems to settle. Panic attack, Fox thinks grimly, watching wet, dark strands drip on the Jedi's pants. Thorn tends to shed hair ties like birds shed feathers, so it is the work of a few seconds to find the most recent discard, to step around behind the Jedi and gather his hair up. The first touch makes him twitch, calf slashing dangerously, but a moment later he lets out a breath, sinks back, and Fox hums in wordless praise. He's not Thorn, so the most he manages is a mostly neat knot, but when he steps back around, the Jedi looks up at him and says quietly,
"Thank you, Commander."
"Sure," Fox says, and touches his temple firmly, tips his head away to check the bruise that's spreading along the tip of his cheekbone, clear now that his hair is out of the way.
"Was that your master?"
The Jedi doesn't answer, just looks away, and says softly,
"Coruscant is overwhelming."
Knowing Jedi, it could be a response, a confirmation, a complete change of subject. Either way, Fox lets it stand, sinking back against the edge of his desk.
"First time back since you left the crash?"
he asks.
"First time,"
the Jedi says, glancing up at him, then away again quickly.
"I wasn't in the crash."
After all this, after the Jedi is settled, Fox is going to see if Jack is still good at slicing. He's going to point Jack at the temple's files, have him find any records he can, and use them, all of them, against this master, or to make sure she never gets another kid. Maybe to make sure she has an accident, once the war starts winding down. Fox is pragmatic enough to know the value of a Jedi in the field, even if he personally wants them dead.
"Name?"
he asks. The Jedi pauses, swallows, closes his eyes for a long moment, and then says, with a thread of something that is close to defiance,
"It's John. John Antilles."
There's a story there, too, Fox thinks, but he doesn't press, just nods. And there are two ways he could do this, two different possibilities to set up something like a working relationship, and Fox knows which he should pick, but...
"John,"
he says, deliberate, and when John looks up at him, Fox touches his bruised cheek, the curve of his eye socket, slides his hand around to grip the back of John's neck, and John shivers, closes his eyes.
"A good reaction,"
Fox thinks, watching him, and if it's a little sharp, a little possessive, well, Cody's always called him a bastard anyway.
"You don't have to go to the temple,"
he says, low, makes it soothing as he pulls John in, lets him rest his forehead against Fox's chest plate. John will look good in red, he thinks, black and red, with his pale eyes, with the guard in red and white around him, eerie, a little unsettling, perfect, theirs.
"I'll keep you here, and you can help the guard, and you stay with us no matter what. You won't hurt us. We'll make sure of it, all right?"
John nods without raising his head, and Fox smiles, thin, a little vicious, as he tightens his grip.
The end. Thank you for listening.
This has been recorded for Flower Parish because, well, this is technically a fic that C has recorded before, and C sent it to me, like, you should record this, after a conversation of, oh, hey, if you, my friend, record me a fic, and you're like, yeah, I would like a podfic of this, I'm very likely to just podfic it, because I like doing things for people, and Perry is amazing, so... Ta-da! My first John and Teal's podfic. Just for you. So, thank you for listening, Perry, and thanks to anyone else for listening. You should also listen to Flower Parish's version, because it's amazing. And... please remember to drink some water today.